Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to Capital Ash, the Irish-related program that comes to you every Sunday at high noon on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, or you can download it from any part of the world on wellingtonaccessradio.org.nz. My name is Jim Frail, originally from County Mayo. This program was pre-recorded in December, so this is my first show for 2022. The technicals were done by Marion Grealis, who always does a very professional job in getting the programme out to you, the listeners. We are supported by our sponsors, the Hutt Valley Irish Society, Peter and Susie McGuinness, and the Wellington Irish Trust. First up today are a few book reviews that were in the Irish Central in December. The first one is a collection of short stories by Gerry Adams, former Sinn Féin president and former TD for County Louth from 2011 until 2020. That's 9 years. This new book, which Gerry says is fiction, is called Black Mountain and Other Stories. The title is from the mountain overlooking Belfast, an enduring image, he says, of permanence in a world of change. He says that when people from Belfast spend time in Dublin and they're coming home, when they see the Black Mountain on the horizon, they have a sense of being home. There are 11 short stories in the book. These days, Gerry is enjoying life with his grandchildren. The next book is by Neil O'Dowd, and it's called Lincoln and the Irish. It's had good reviews. Irish historian Tim Pat Coogan says it tells superbly how Abraham Lincoln changed from suspicion of the Irish to deep respect. There have been 15,000 books, hard to believe, isn't it, on Lincoln. But this is the first one on Lincoln and the Irish. Lincoln's children were raised by Irish nannies, despite the fact that his wife Mary Todd disliked the Irish and threatened to support the nativist Know-Nothings. They were the Ku Klux Klan of their day. At the height of Lincoln's political career, 19,000 Irish people a month were flooding through American ports, fleeing the aftermath of the Great Famine. They received a cold welcome. The Know-Nothings targeted them, burning a dozen Irish alive on August the 6th, 1865, known as Bloody Monday in Louisville, Kentucky, when they tried to vote. 150,000 Irish fought for Lincoln in the American Civil War. They were awarded 146 medals of honor. They formed the backbone of the Union Army. Jefferson Davis, the Confederate president, dispatched a bishop and a famous Irish priest to Ireland to plead with the Catholic hierarchy there to stop Irish immigrants joining Lincoln's army. When Lincoln was assassinated by a man called John Booth, it was a Sligo man that tracked him down, Lieutenant Edward Doherty. In a remote Sligo graveyard, there's a monument to Doherty, and the monument reads, Lincoln's Avenger. Sounds like an interesting book. I will put it on my list. Time for a song, Denny Boy, and we will have the Celtic Woman version.
Oh, Denny Boy, the pipes, the pipes.
Just to balance things a little regarding the 150,000 Irish who fought for Lincoln in the American Civil War, Irish Central also reviewed another book called The Irish at Gettysburg by Philip Thomas Tucker. And he says that more than 40,000 Irish fought for the South or the Confederate side in that terrible war. At the decisive battle of Gettysburg, Irishmen fought other Irish, their first language on both sides being Irish. In 1861, the largest immigrant group in the South was the native Irish Catholics and Irish Protestants. Unlike northern cities, where the Irish often struck a cold welcome, they found it much easier to assimilate into the mainstream Southern society. The unity of whiteness in a slave society enhanced equality for Europeans. The Irish were accepted as full-fledged citizens in all large cities in the South. The vast majority of those Irish were ordinary workers. None of them would have been slave owners. They fought out of gratitude to a Southern society that had accepted them as equals, much more so than the Northern society had accepted their brothers. They identified with the Confederacy's struggle for self-determination. More Irish fought in the American Civil War that was on both sides than ever fought in their own country's struggle for freedom. We should also remember that the British government supported the Confederate side in that war. And that's not surprising, because the British were the ones that brought the slaves there in the first place, before American independence, starting in the colony of Virginia in 1619. That's 160 years before the United States got their independence. It was an evil practice, slavery, I mean, that made Britain a wealthy country and caused, of course, terrible misery to millions of black people. When I ever hear that beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace, I think of the victims of slavery, as that hymn was written by a slave ship captain by the name of John Newton. He began writing the hymn when he survived a shipwreck. He landed in Donegal safe and was thankful that he survived. He wrote the first verse in Buncrana. Later, he went on to become a Methodist minister. In 2013, the Irish commemorated him by building a viewing platform at Lough Swilly near Castle Bridge. The tribute marks the spot where Newton, seeing the error of his past life, and began his conversion to Christianity. The ceremony unveiling the platform was attended at the time by the late Martin McGuinness of Sinn Féin and Jonathan Bell of the DUP party. After that, it's time for some music, and it's called Celtic Dueling on Violins by two talented young women.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed that. I found it on YouTube. It's even better when you can actually see them. But you can just go into Google. Any of you that are interested, you can just go and Google it on YouTube. Staying with my Irish history theme, the Irish Times recently had an article by historian Sean Duffy about the last High King of Ireland. Do any of you listeners know who he was? It's not Brian Boru, who defeated the Vikings. It's not Rory O'Connor. Give up? Hint, the year was 1315. The Irish anointed a Scotsman, High King, and his name? Edward Bruce, brother of Robert Bruce, King of Scotland, famous for his victory over the English at Bannockburn. The Irish and the Scots were united at that time against the common enemy, England. Edward's reign as King of Ireland didn't last long, 3 years. In 1318, as he marched south from his power base in Ulster to try to overrun the lands of the English colonists in the hinterlands of Dublin, he became involved with an English army near Dundalk, losing his life, and with it, his Irish kingdom. The historian Sean Duffy says that Edward Bruce's inauguration as Ireland's last High King 700 years ago was living proof of a legacy of Irish links with Scotland that deserves to be remembered and cherished. It's an interesting piece of our history that I can't remember learning at school. I would assume that not many ordinary people are aware of that. The teaching of history in schools in all countries can be very selective. I read an interesting article recently in the Irish Central about Rathcrowan in County Roscommon. Now, most people don't know about it, but in ancient times, it was as important as Newgrange or Tara, which most of us know about. Rathcrowan used to be the ancient royal capital of Connacht. It's near the town of Tulsk. The prehistoric monuments there are more than 5,000 years old. One historian says the reason it's not well known is a simple one. He says many famous areas west of the River Shannon were neglected, while Newgrange and Tara were being renovated and promoted by governments. But things are changing. They are now realising the huge tourist attraction of Rathcrowan, and the number of people visiting the site is steadily increasing. This is where Queen Maeve from Irish mythology had her seat and organised the cattle raid of Cooley, famous in Irish mythology. One day when the travel restrictions are lifted, those visiting Ireland should put it on their list of places to visit. A few weeks ago in the Mayo News, I read a column by columnist Kevin Hegarty. He was paying a tribute to Jane Clarke, a County Roscommon poet who he likens to Seamus Heaney in capturing the feeling of ordinary family people in rural Ireland. Jane wrote this poem after her father, who was a local farmer and a cattle dealer, or jobber, as we used to call them in my day, cattle dealers that is, died. He died before the coronavirus lockdown, which has reduced the number of people allowed at wakes or funerals in Ireland. I will read it for you. From Kiltoom, Trimully, Lochglin, Kilbegnet, Leacarrow, Athleague, Craigs, Carrakeel, Ballinleg. They come to pay their respects. They shake hands with us, stand by his body and bow their heads. Cattlemen, sheepmen, carpenters, teachers, foresters, nurses, vets. They say prayers, lay their hands on his chest and bless themselves. Then fill the kitchen with the man they knew, a grand man altogether. Always out early, hardy as a wild duck. A good judge of a bullock, fierce man to work. Oh, he had woeful hands, a man of his word. That poem touched me as I grew up in West Mayo in a farming village, surrounded by such people. To me, they were and are the salt of the earth, people. My time is up. I will go out with a song by Liam Clancy of the Clancy Brothers called Shenandoah, which means beautiful daughter of the stars in one of the Native American languages. I play it to the memory of the 200,000 odd Irish soldiers who fought on both sides in the American Civil War, far, far from their native land. Fare thee well.
I long to hear away your rolling river. Oh, Shenandoah, I long to hear away. Is a mighty water away your rolling river. The Indians come along her border away. An Indian maiden, away your rolling river, with an ocean's his canoe was laid away. Oh, Shenandoah, I love your daughter.
Been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.